Okay, today's daf is Kelayim daf Mem, the 40th blot, 40th daf here in Maseches Kelayim, and we are on the second to last line on Lamed Tesma Beis. So we have been discussing, we just quoted a long statement, how the halachas of broken walls fit for Hilchos Kelayim and Hilchos Shabbos. And of course, Hilchos Kelayim is relating to some type of hafsaka and harchaka of separation between the kerem and the tevua, the vine and the grain. While for Hilchos Shabbos, the issue is whether you're allowed to carry within the area, whether tiltal is allowed. We saw there was just two measurements for Shabbos and not three like we had by Kelayim, because the Gemara spoke about it, it's much simpler and straight when it comes to Shabbos. But the issue of carrying within Shabbos is a fascinating discussion that the Rishonim have. We have mentioned in the past that the Melacha of Hotzah has more dafim about it than almost every other topic in Shas. The Melacha of Hotzah on Shabbos and Pigel by Kachim. Those two have dafim and dafim, tens of dafim. Half of Masechta Shabbos is all about Hotzah. Every single detail that one can imagine. And the Masechta even starts with Hotzah. The first Malacha discussed in Masechta Shabbos is Hotzah, the first Mishnah, Yitzias HaShabbos. Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, Shtayim Shein Arba Bachutz. And the Rishonim, Tosfos, first Tosfos in the Masechta, third Tosfos in the Masechta. You know, why exactly do we start with Hotzah? Right, if you look later on at Dafayin Gimel in Shabbos in the Bavli, that's the last one on the list. The last Malacha is the Malacha of Hotzah. And yet it's the first one on the list in the discussion. And then we get into later prakim, Behema and Isha, Bameh Behema Behema Isha. So Tosef quotes a couple of opinions, but one of them is, and this is one that's picked up on by others, the last line of the first Tosfos in the Masechta, Hutzrich Lashanos. Why do we have so much about Hotzah, and why is Hotzah the first Malacha? Mishum de Malacha Geruahi. Because it is an inferior Malacha. Because it's inferior, you have to really mention it, because I would have thought it's not a malacha. What makes it inferior as compared to all other malachas? Hotzah, that's the third nine malachas. So why is it inferior? Tosfos says this also later on, the beginning of Perek HaZorik. Perek HaZorik on the Tzadi Vavmabes. Tzadi Vavmabes, the Gemara there asks, how do you know the malacha of Hotzah is Aser? How do you know it's Aser? Hotzah Gufa Hechaksifa. Where is Hotzah written in the Torah? Because the Mishnah there talks about throwing from Rosh Hashanah Yachad to Rosh Hashanah Yachad with Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in the middle. So that's an extension of Hotzah. So the Gemara says, Michti Zrika told the Hotzah he. Hotzah Gufa Hechaksiva. Where do you see Hotzah written? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Da Amar Kra Vayitzav Moshe Vayaviru Kolba Machaneh. Moshe got up and announced in the camp, Moshe Hechan Hai Vyasiv Machana Levia. Umachana Levia Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Havi. Vakamal Huli Yisrael Lo Tafiku Vitesu Me Rosh Hashanah Yachad Ditchu Le Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Right, and that's how, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu announced, don't do Malacha Votzah. Ask Tosfos, the Gemara never asks us about any other Malacha. The Malacha of Choresh is not written explicitly in the Torah. The Malacha of Libun is not written in the Torah. So why all of a sudden do we say, oh, how do you know Hotzah? You need a Pasuk for Hotzah? So Tosfos says, Tosfos, Sadi Vavimabes, V'yava gav da haisav ha-mishkan, da amar heim ho-ridu, krashim mi-agala, like it says earlier in Daf Mem Tes, that they this was in the Mishkan, they took from the wagons, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, to the desert, off the wagons, which is the Rabbim, v'kamako mi-lav d'chsiv, lavi mechavi alei, if it wouldn't be written in the Torah, in a Pasuk, I wouldn't have obligated, I wouldn't have made this one of the 39, lafi shemalacha geruahi. Because again, there's that lashon. It's an inferior type of malacha. What makes it inferior? Right? That's the question. The Rishonim have two different formulations. Maybe, by every malacha, there's some type of change. There's some type of change. I plowed, I cooked, I cleaned, I shechted, right? I built something. By Hotzah, what did I do? I moved it from one place to another place. What kind of change is that? It's the same. It's the same, it's just in a different geographical location. You didn't really accomplish much. Or others say, they focus on the chefsa. There's no shinui in the chefsa. Same type of idea, but there's a different focus of the formulations. There's no shinui in the item. You didn't color it, you moved it. So it's what you really accomplish. Is this really a malacha? So therefore, Tosfos says that it is a malacha geruah. Is there any nafkamina? Halacha lamaisa, that it's a malacha geruah or not? So we call it a malacha geruah conceptually. Is there any nafkamina? So if you look at the Chai Adam quotes, maybe the concept of maisa Shabbos doesn't apply to Hotzah because it's a malacha geruah. Maisa Shabbos, if there is a malacha done by all the different details, machlokas tanoim, in Ksubis and Shabbos, a malacha done on Shabbos by a Jew, mazid, shogeg, d'oraisa, d'rabanan, right, all different permutations of getting hana'a from a malacha Shabbos that was done. Jew, non-Jew. So the Chayy Adam says in Klal Test and Hilcha Shabbos, Kalosu malacha and a malacha zasuras b'daraisa. If you do any malacha daraisa, if you go on hamavashel v'chein kulam, and he quotes, if it's b'mezid, it's also to the doer forever and to others, motzi Shabbos. V'im b'shogeg, goshashachach, all the details about Maisa Shabbos. But then he says, v'dafka b'dvar shenasa Maisa b'guf hadavar. The whole idea of Maisa Shabbos is only when you did something to the item. Shenishtanami kamosha haya kimivasha v'chayotzibo, where there's been a change. Aval hamotzi mirishus l'rishus, shalo nishtana hadavar mikamosha haya. But if something just moves, but doesn't change, im b'shogeg, mutter afilu lo afilu baba yom. If it's b'shogeg, he can even take get benefit from it that day. So he says maybe there's a coolest in b'mezid, maybe it's still usher, but Maisa Shabbos. So the Chayyadim says Maisa Shabbos could be an afkamina in terms of halacha l'maisa, what we would say. In the Chashuke Chemed, we haven't had a Chashuke Chemed in Yerushalmis. We don't have Chashuke Chemed on Yerushalmis. So on that first daf in Shabbos, he quotes, when a Baal Tshuva is coming to learn Hilcha Shabbos, is there an order of which malachos you teach first? What would we say? Gotta go know them all. We have to go step by step. So you teach him the most common ones. Right? That's what we would say. The Rambam writes in a, he quotes, at the beginning of Hilcha Shabbos, why Hotzah is, you start off with Hotzah. Shezosa malacha yimalim says tadir. It's very common. Lulamdenu shehi malacha avoisha hanira mimena shehi malacha. Same idea. The Rambam in the Pirush of Mishnayos. You wouldn't have thought this is a malacha. Lefize im abal tshuva dar beir she'im bo eriv. So says Rav Zilberstein, if you the Baal Tshuva lives in a city without an eriv, maybe you should teach him malachas hotzah because it's so common. Vavnam gam malacham she'im bo eriv al pirov im brocho es dar beir rishas ram daraisa. So he quotes, you know, maybe it's better to teach him the malachas that are moshchiach. Maybe you shouldn't because it's a malacha gerua and the other malachas accomplish more. He doesn't take a stand on that. He says, interesting, he says, this is not connected, but it's related. Do you teach Hilcha Shabbos before Hilcha Taras Mishpacha or the opposite? Which one would you would take precedence over time? So he quotes the tshuva he asked from his father-in-law, Rav Yashiv, and Rav Yashiv says, Taras Mishpacha. Two reasons you teach before Hilcha Shabbos. Number one, it relates to two people, not just one. So if there's two people following halacha and not one, so that is reason number one. And number two, Taras Mishpacha Krucha Bekfias Yetzer via Difal Hashabbos Shayetzer Lo Kofeo Kokach Aleha Vary Tiina Sone Kotemis Laprika. Okay, so that's the overcoming our taivas has a defense in a sense. One final source that will continue. Rabbi Yosef Engel there in the Shabbos and Nafbez and Gilyon HaShas kind of has the opposite svara. He says maybe Hotza'ah in a certain sense is a greater malacha. He quotes the Chidushe Gur Aryeh, the Mispa'eres Midvarev, Svara Hefechius, to Hotza'ahi Malacha Chamura Tvei Mishar Malachas, Mipas Heyosa Misyacheses to Shabbos Bifrat, Kiva De'en Erev Hotza'ah Liyantav. The other malachas are Shabbos and Yantav ideas. Hotzah is just Shabbos. It's unique to Shabbos. Lachain ba ikar shvisas haShabbos. Masha'en kin shar malachas. Denogim gam b'yantif. Umishimachi hiskla tana ba'otzah levisha ba ikar shvisas haShabbos. It started with Hotzah because that's something unique to Shabbos. Not the yantif. V'chein l'chamanda fayin gimel. Ayin gimel. What does it have? It has hamotzi b'rishus l'rishus at the end of the malachas list. Ki'ilu amar. Du mikal ha-malachas shuz gru t'chila tzorach lishpos v'im kol ze ein ze ikar ha-shvisa adayin. Rak ikar ha-shvisa hi b'hi man'o me-hotza'a me-rishus l'rishus. U'bezehu she-nishlam shvisa ha-shabbos l'gamrei l'chein nishna ba'achroda. Interesting, against the other Rishonim, but in a certain way, maybe Hotza'a captures something unique to Shabbos. Okay, that's related to Shabbos, that's this chiluk that we just quoted here, in our Braisa, on Lama Tesma Beis, we have the distinction of, all the details of, if you have the Pirtzas less than 3 Tvachim, between 3 and 10, 3 Tvachim and 10 Amos, and more. Rabbi Chananya, second to last line. Rabbi Hanani Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. So as the Mara fully explains, Rabbi Yochanan here is arguing on the principle where we just said that if the omed is meruba al haparitz, so that has over all encompassing effect. You see the Amara Folda. Even if the partitions are less than 10 tfachim wide, still, Omid Merubal Aparis helps you out. So Rabbi Yochanan is going to argue on that detail. Ze'eno, I'm still reading the Mara Folda. We would argue on that. To call Hechad Apirza Gimel, to Lohavi Le Kalavit Eno Mutter, but Omid Ben Meruba. Just like if the spaces are more than 3 tfachim, Omid Meruba doesn't help you out, because it's not Lovud. LMK, unless they're 4 tfachim wide, Avobats are low, so too. If the walls are not 4 tefachim wide, so Omid Meruba does not help you out there. So again, let's read it. Less kan mishlosh arba, right? If you don't have the partitions between, less kan means like take out, delete, right? Remove that statement, mishlosh arba. Remove the line that says that there could be some type of hefsik even if the partitions are less than 4 tefachim. Less kan, right? Delete it. Mishlosh varaba. Because after all, yesh kan pirtza shlosha, there is a pirtza of at least 3 tefachim in between. Ein kan makam arba, and the partitions aren't 4 tefachim wide. So, omed merub ala paritz doesn't help you in that situation, where you want to plant next to the, geder, next to the barrier. Masav rav mana, what mean? You're telling me that even if something is not 4 tefachim wide, it can never function as a partition? Vadetaninan. But we learned in the Mishnah Eirvin, it's the same Mishnah that we quoted yesterday, Daf Tezayin in the Bavli, Makifin Bekanim. Right? You can make, if you're in the middle of nowhere and you want to make a mechitza surrounding, put up a bunch of sticks, put up a bunch of reeds all around your area. Stick them up, and as long as they're not within 3 tefachim, they're not 3 tefachim away from each other, now you have yourself a good partition. But Vekane Yesh Lo Makom, and all these reeds, are they 4 tefachim wide? No, they're very skinny, right? They're very thin, right? So you see, says Rav Mana, that you don't need something to be 4 tefachim wide in order to have significance. So the Gemara says, come on, Amar Lei. See, he answers Rav Mana, no, don't bring me riots from the case of the reeds. Lo tesiveni pachas mishlosha. Don't bring your eyes from there. Why? From, in a case of that's pachas mishlosha, meaning from each other, lovud. To call pachas mishlosha kasasimu. No, that case, Rabbi Yochanan's not arguing in that case. If you have a case where the sections are less than 3 tefachim from each other, then you have lovud. Then it's kilu, it's all closed in. Then the partitions themselves don't have to be 4 tefachim wide to be significant. Because the whole area is considered closed in. We discussed last week, if you remember, the Chakira of the stipler, about what exactly lovud is. Does lovud mean that it's closed up, or that the two sides are stretched, and as if they're connected? And that's what we said in Afkamin, is if you have two sections of pasul schach, each of them are not long enough to pasul your sukkah, and there's less than 3 tefachim in between them. Do you say that they're connected to have pasul schach there and 4 tefachim, or no? No, it's just closed up, but you're not mitzarech. That was the nafkamina. That was Tosfos's asafik in Sukkah Yud Zayin or so. But the Gemara here asks, Amar Leis, he says, Ramana, don't ask me on Rabbi Yochanan. From that case, that's lavud. That's less than 3 tefachim. So what would Rabbi Mana answer back? Ramana knows that case. So he would probably answer that even if it's lavud, if the reeds are so insignificant, then it shouldn't even work by lovehood, right? It should be, if they're all a bunch of zeros, these reeds, then even if they're within 3 tefachim of each other, what, you have 2 zeros within 3 tefachim of each other? So Ramana would say, the fact that lovehood works still means that there's significance to these reeds, less than 4 tefachim. So Rabbi Yochanan, don't tell me that everything has to be 4 tefachim wide of the partition in order for it to have significance. Rabbi Mana says, from the fact that Mishnah says you could use reeds, yes, it's working by lavud, but still, the fact that it can be put together means that it itself is significant. It reminds me a little bit of the sugya of Chazilat Sarufe, of Chatzi Shir. Right? One of the ways, I think we discussed this a few weeks ago, right? The Chazilat Sarufe, one of the svaras is that the fact that this could combine, if you have another Chatzi Shir, means that itself is significant right now. If it was zero, then with another zero, it also would be zero. 0 plus 0 equals 0. The fact that it could combine with another shear means it itself has significance too. Chazil itzarufe. And that's what Rav Mana would probably say back to the questioner. Don't bring me riyas from that against Rav Yochanan. I'm sorry, Rav Mana would defend his raya and say that it must have significance itself because it can be mitztaref in the sugya of Lavan. Good. The last line argues on Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yossi Barbun, B'shem Rav. No, Mikol Akom, Ki Mikimich, Omei Meruba, Rav, Allah Paritz, Mutter. Once the Omid is Meruba, we would say that is an important factor, even if the partitions are not for Tvachim. Right, that's what the Mara Folda says. You see the last one, Mikol Akom. Palig al Rabbi Yochanan. Right, the last opinion quoted here in the Gemara is arguing on a Riochanan v'svir le, kiva de omid rabba laparet, since altogether, cumulatively, the standing is greater than the open, af agav de ein kan makam dalid mutter, right, even if it's not any one of the partitions is not four tzvachim wide, it is still going to be mutter. Okay. So now we get into some of the yesodos of Kilei Akerem. As we said, this parak is started our discussion of Kilei Akerem. The first three prakim were Kilei Zroim, and now Karachas Akerem. This parak starts us with the discussion of Kilei Akerem. Interesting that we started off with an unusual case. How much space do you need between, in the middle of an area of a Karem that got desolate? How much do you need next to a Karem, between a Karem and a fence? But now we're getting to the Mishnah of, what's the definition of a Karem? We referred to this earlier. What is the definition of a kerem? And again, just to review, it's a good time to review. The halacha looks at vineyards and grapes and wine all in a very special way. It's not just other growths, right? The fact that we make a bari peragafen, number one, right? All other drinks get a shahakol. The fact that we make a bari peragafen on wine, bari pri hagafen, right? The fruit of the vine, right? That itself reflects its uniqueness. In terms of being a drink, right? You might make right, what about oil? Oil is also unique, but in a different way. You don't drink oil. That's the Gemara in Brachas. What bracha do you make on oil? You don't drink oil straight. But what if it's the main ingredient in terms of a ha'etz? But Ber Pergafen gets its own bracha. Number one, number two, Hilchas Kilei Akerem, as we know. Right, as we mentioned, the chinuch a couple when we started the parak, wine and grapes are unique in halacha, the chashivus, and therefore it has special halachas regarding Kilei Akerem. So we have bari peragafen, we have Kilei Akerem, we have schita on Shabbos, schita b'Shabbos. There are different halachas between squeezing out grapes and olives, and squeezing out all other fruit. Right, that's the Mishnah and the Gemara in Shabbos. Kuf mem gimel, towards the end of the Masechta. Kuf mem gimel begins beginning of parachavis. Remember the Gemara there has the three levels of fruits and vegetables, right? Zesim and anavim. If I squeeze out fruits and vegetables on Shabbos, that's aser d'oraisa, right? What malacha is that? According to the Rambam, is dush, right? It's squeezing out something from the, and you want, you're interested in the juice, so squeezing out zesim anavim is d'oraisa. If it comes out by itself, it's just sitting there and they're mushy and it flows out, you probably cannot drink it because Gzeir Hashem Yischot. And then you have all the others, Tutim V'rimonim, which is the next category that is only Durabanan, even if you squeezed it. And then you have the third category the Gemara talks about, which is Mutter totally, you don't even just squeezing it. Tutim V'rimonim, and then you have the third one. Here it is, Sharpeiris, as it's called. Modim chachamim l'Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peiros. That it's all mutter. Modim Rabbi Yehuda chachamim by zeitzim anavim. So you see there, there's a special halachas regarding anavim there. They're also connected to zeitzim. But one more halacha. There's a bracha called atova hametiv. A bracha that we make a special bracha on when we have a higher level of wine in the during the meal, right? There's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch. Kuf Ayin Hey. Kuf Ayin Hey in Shulchan Aruch has a whole siman about all the details about making a new bracha on wine during the meal. And the bracha was Mesukan. Why? The Rishonim say because of Ribui Hayayin. Right? We have so much wine. The idea that if we have so much meat, we don't make a separate bracha. We have six pieces of steak. Wow. Make a separate bracha. No. That's not symbolic. But wine, symbol of wine, that's Reba. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that in the beginning of Siman Kufayin Hey. Hatova Meitiv Mvarechos Abashim Malchus, Vahu Hoda'a Al Ribui Hayayin, Shin is Damin Lo. It's a hodah on the fact that there's a plethora of wine, right? You don't make that bracha on any other food, dafka wine, because one reason is ribuy. And that's why we paskin like Tosfos, that even if the wine is not better, right, even if it's the same quality, as long as it's different, you'd make atov ametiv. Even if it's different. Why? Because it's not about better, but it's about ribuy. And because it's ribuy, right, that's the language of Shulchan Aruch in Sif Beis there, Kufayne Beis. Bevarach Adam Ametav al Kol Sheini Yayim and Astam, Afilu Eini Yodea Shashini Meshubach Me'arishon. Kol Sheini Yodea Shehu Garua Mimenu. As long as it's not worse, right, if it's the same quality, but it has to be different, it can't be the same type of wine, just a different bottle, but so all of those reflect the idea that wine and Yayin and Anavim have separate, unique halachas in the world of halacha. So again, now we get to the Mishnah, defining what a gefen is. Hanotei Shura Shel Chamesh Gefanim. So everybody agrees you need at least five vines in order to make a vineyard. But the question is, could those five vines be even in just one row, straight, or does it have to be in at least two rows? Machlokas. So, Hanotei Shura Shel Chamesh Gefanim, Beisil Shamay Omrim Kerem, Beis Shamay says, five in a row, that's a kerem. Right, this is Chumra. No, Beisilol says it has to be at least two rows, and as we'll learn, two shuros in the later Mishnah, it has to be what's called, you have two in a row next to each other, like a square, and then one sticking out somewhere. That's called the zanav, the tail. So two in a row and one is zanav, Beisilol says that's the minimum for to be a vineyard. If it's just all in one row, that's called still called a vine. You only need six tefachim from there. Right, that's individual vines. Lefichach, because this is a machlokes, therefore we mentioned this also a couple of days ago, there comes out a kula for Beis Hillel, but not because he's mekel, just because he has a chumra here, because he has a kula normally, so it comes out that he has a chumra here. Because he says normally this is not a kerem, right, which is a kula, but because of that, lefichach, what happens when you actually plant kilaya kerem? When you plant some seeds, some tefillah right next to a vineyard, how much of that vineyard is going to be ne'esar? What, the whole huge vineyard? No. Only the area of the vineyard that is called a minimal vineyard next to what you planted. That's what we're going to see in the rest of the daf. We're going to have a lot of different pictures and permutations. But what is a vineyard? Lefichach, Hazrei Abraham Shebekerem, Beishamai Omrim, Kidishur Achas. Beishamai says, you take one row, the row that's closest to what you planted, because that's a kerem according to Beishamai. And Kelea Kerem, that's what's Ne'asar. Ubeisil Omrim Shteishur. Beisil says, no, two rows are asered, which could work out to be a chumra, but that's only because he has a kula in the fundamental din. Good. So this is the Mishnah. The Vilna Gaon on the Mishnah has one line right here in the Shnos Elio. He has one line. Why does Beis Shammai say that a one row is enough? So you might have just said because one row is enough. No, the Gra says because he says rowin. You view it as if it's in two rows. So he seems to say fundamentally everybody needs two rows. The question is, could you magically assume that? And that's what the Gra in one line. And Beis Hillel says you don't say rowin. So I saw in the Ar HaYashar, one of the Akron in the back, he says, I wonder, there are three or four other places in Shas where we have this principle called rowin. Right? You view it as if. What Beis Hillel argues in all of those, he'd rather not say that, the Ar HaYashar. The Ar HaYashar says, it must be that Kilayim's different. Right? Only by Kilayim, Beis Hillel won't say rowin as if there are two rows, but by all the others, you would say rowin. Right? That's his the Ar HaYashar's comment. This quotes this line of Joseph Leo Beishla Dachnik Maishna Dafka Hacha Deleslu Rowan Vahaim Bechol Hanitzan Rowan. Right about all the others Rowan. So we would say, where else does it talk about Rowan? So he quotes, oh, look in Erevin, Zvachim and Chulin. Look in throws those three, right? Mishnayis, Erevin Yud Gimel Mabez, the first mission in Erevin. The Korah. We spoke yesterday about the board that you use to enclose the Mavui, the alleyway. So the Mishnah there says, what material do you have to use? So Rabbi Yehuda says, Rechava Avavishayim Briya. Haisa Shokaso Shokanim. What if you could use straw and reeds? Could you use that? Do you have to use a big plywood? Could you use straw and reeds? Rowin oso kilu hishem altechas. Akuma, if it's crooked, rowin oso kilu hipshuta. Agula, rowin oso kilu shimurubas. Right? You view it as if it's heavy, as if it's square. So Ara Yashar says, what Beishamai, what Beisil would argue on that? So he says, no, probably Kilayim's different. Lachar, he would agree to that, Rowan. Or, Zvachim, Ayin Zayin. Zvachim, Ayin Zayin, Mabez. What happened if the blood that you're going to sprinkle on Mizbeach got mixed in with dam chaya. That mixed in with dam chaya, right? Dam behema of your covering, I mixed in with dam chaya. So could you still sprinkle it? So the Mishnah says, rowin. If this dam chaya would be water, and then you would get mixed up, would this still look like blood? Or would it look like water? That's the chiluk. That's the halacha. Rowin. Rowin oso ki'ilu humayim, and then you decide, right, dam kosher, shenasar biyayin, or let's say you have good blood that got mixed up with red wine. Rowin oso ki'ilu humayim. Chulu. So again, rowin. Right, zvachamayin zayin, or chulin pei zayin one more. What happens if you have blood that you have to do kisi adam on, and then it got mixed in with blood that you don't have to do kisi adam on? Same thing, rowin. Rowin as if it's mayim. So he quotes all these three sugyas, Chulin, Zvachim, and Erevin, wondering, you know, if the Gra is right that the Mishnah here is based on a Rowan Machlokes, so you'd have to explain that Beis Hillel would hold that Kilayim is different. Okay, we continue. The first four words are taken out. Vuzara Keneged Emsoi, because it's just repeated. Zara Keneged HaEmsoi. So what happens if, let's say you have, we're going to have, again, the rest of the daf is just four pictures, right? Let's say you have a vineyard. You have at least, let's say you have five, that's what the Mara Folda says. You have five vines in a row. You have five vines in a row, and then you have five vines in the, two, you have two rows with five vines each. You plant a zera next to the middle vine outside one of the rows, right? So how much of those two rows are ne'asar mishum kilei akeren? That's our question. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky here has pictures here, beautiful pictures, and I think the other Ozvader also has it. So I'll die to the Beishamai, Oser is called Ashura. Beishamai says that whole first row is Asr. Right? It's five vines. That whole five vines is called the Kerem. So that first row is all Ne'asar. By the way, the first line is kept by the Gra and Rav Chaim Kanievsky, but I took it out for the according to the Marafolda. But I'll die to the Beis Hillel. What about Beis Hillel? Again, you have these two rows, five and five. I'll die to the Beis Hillel. Oser shalosh keneged shalosh. He would say, no, the first row of five, that's not a vineyard. What's the vineyard? Remember, you need two rows. So the three, let's say you planted next to the middle vine in a row of five. So the one right next to the vine and the two outside of that, because those three are closest to this. And then the ones behind it. And then the ones behind it. So it's three and three. The three middle ones in the first row, the three middle ones in the second row. Why are six vines usher? It should only be five. Remember, the minimum is five vines. So why are all six? Well, you don't know in the second row, the two outer ones, they're both exactly equidistant from the zera that you planted. So there's no reason to usher one over the other, so you have to usher both. Right? So that's why the square of six would be ushered for would be answered according to Beis Hillel. Right? Again, that's what the Rav Chaim Kanievsky says. If you look in the first Rav Chaim Kanievsky here on Amid Beis, he says, Vat asar gimel keneged gimel. Why do you asar three and three? Avshe b'shnayim keneged shnayim. Ve'echad yosi zanav. Really, if you have two and two and just one sticking out, that's enough to be called a kerem. Haynu taima. Delo yad'inon mitoch elu vav gefanim. You don't know between these six, eza mayem shnayim keneged shnayim, which is the one sticking out. Right, on the which side? So you have to do both. You have to do both. That is case number one. Again, that was a simple case where you have two rows of five and you planted outside the middle one. So what about this case? Zara Kenegad Habeinayin She'em Be'emsoi. Let's say you have an even number. Let's say you have six vines in two rows, and you planted between, not exactly parallel to any vine, between two vines. You planted between two vines, meaning outside the kerem, opposite these vines, but not exactly next to one of them, between the two. So, al dati de Beishamai, oser shtai mikan v'shtai mikan. So remember, Beishamai says you need five vines to make in the first row. So the first row is only going to be necessary for Beishamai. So you take the two to the right and the two to the left, because those are the two that are closest to Beisham, to the Zera. What about the fifth one? Meaning, which side is going to get it? Which side, on the right side or on the left side? So, chamishis ezohi. So, nomar im hayu zra'im krovim lachaz mayhan. If you plant it outside, in between, but it's really closer to one side, hayu asuras, then you take the three from that side. You take the three from that side. If you look in the, again, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky's pictures, it's in Os Vav in the Os Vahadar, where he planted right in between. See if it's closer to one of the corners, one of the sides, then that's where the fifth one comes from. Vim Lav, Ar Girsa, Hare Elu Mutaros. According to Ar Girsa, so then they're both mutter. Why? Why would they both be mutter? Says the Mara Fulda. Beishamai doesn't say that you need five vines. You need the distance of five vines. So if you plant in between two, then you go the distance of how you usually plant vines to the right, the distance of how you usually plant vines to the left, and there you're only going to have four vines, two and two on each side. Beyond the distance, so that's a huge chiddush. The Gran or Chaim Kanievsky have a different girsa, Hari Elu Asuros. No, they say this just is exactly what we said before. You don't know which one to include, so you include both of them. And both are Nassar, like we said for Beis Hillel before. So two different Girsos. Again, Chaim Kanievsky and the Gra, he usually follows the Gra's Girsos, says they both would be Asar, because, as he writes, De'eni Yodea Eza Mehen Lidon B'chamishas. You don't know which one to say is Asar, and therefore they both would be Asar in that regard. And that's what he says in Os Vav. In Os Vav, they would both be Nassar, therefore six would be Nassar, instead of four. According to our Girsa, it will be six. Al Daiti de Beis Hillel. What about Beis Hillel? What will Beis Hillel say if you planted it again? You planted it outside the first row, but in between two vines. Not exactly parallel. So, according to Beis Hillel, Aser Arba Keneged Shtayim. Right? The first row, four. Because again, you planted it between two. You don't know which two in the first row are closest. So it's in between four of them, right? Two on each side. So those four in the first row are Aser. And two are going to be Aser in the second row. If you look at the picture in Os Zayin, in the picture in Chaim Kanievsky, the first four and then the two behind, because any one of those could be the Zanav. Any one of those could be the tail, each of those, right? You have to figure out in the either side. Fine. Third case. Zara Keneged Karen Zavis, right? What was the first case? You planted next to one vine. The second case, you planted between two vines. What's the third case? You planted in the corner. Zara Keneged Karen Zavis, right? You have a whole Karem, and you planted outside the corner Karem. Right? You've seen the picture. It's outside the corner. So how many? So I'll die to the Beis Shammai. So here, Beis Shammai is going to be a Chumra, right? Ezeh Shura Asura. Which Shura? Zu v'zu. They're both, because which row is the one that's closest? Well, you don't know if it's going to be the north-south one or the east-west one. So you got to answer both outside rows, because that corner relates to both sides. Right? It's kind of like, remember in Hilchos Karbanos, you sprinkle on the corner, Shtayim Shein Arba, it goes on both corners. So here, you put it in the corner, so it's relating to both sides. So the whole first row on both sides, according to Beis Shammai, is going to be Aser. Al Daiti de Beis Hillel. What about Beis Hillel? Beis Hillel is going to say no. Again, you have two rows. So, Aser Shtayim Keneged Shtayim, Vachatz Yosi Zanav Mikan, Vachatz Yosi Zanav Mikan. So you see in the picture, right, you have the three outside and going both rows, and just one in the middle, because you put those together, you have five from either side. With, right, two and two, you have a square with one sticking out. So those are the closest ones. The closest ones that can be five viewed together, and therefore that's what's going to be Nassar. That's what's called a Kerem for Beis Hillel. Okay, we'll stop here. Again, we're getting into the Yesodos of how much of the Kerem is Aser. Again, the whole Chiddush is that you might have thought the whole Kerem is Aser. The whole Kerem is not Aser. The only part of the Kerem that's called the Kerem that's closest to where you planted outside. Okay, we'll stop here.